going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The New York Mets, who continue to roll, this time against the reigning NL East champs.
Mets look awesome. Mets have made a statement. Mets are fun to watch right now. The place is absolutely on fire. Lindor looks great. Now he's banging them from the right side, too. We know what Pete's done. Soto has yet to join the party, and the Mets still look really good. You know, I thought they'd be a playoff team for a while. Then I thought, maybe they're going to miss out by a little bit. I just didn't love the pitching. I don't know what they're doing in the lab. Hell, for all I know, they might be giving these guys PEDs. That's how good they look. But I say that, I'm obviously kidding. The Mets defense, even the little things like Taylor on the double play last night with Schwarber, the Mets are very connected right now. And the Mets are emitting fantastic chemistry, which is not always easy to identify in baseball because it's not so much a team sport. It's more individuals working as a team, if you will. I'm starting to think, Sal, and I know this is going to probably sound maybe a little early or a little irresponsible, the Mets might be a couple of weeks away from running away with this division, dude.
Yeah, I don't know about running away with the division, and you know I'm sensitive
one team.
To that.
It's only one team.
But I'll say it this way. First of all, you know the look of a team that's got it and the potential to be a championship team when you see it. And I think the Mets have that, no question about it. Now, there's going to be questions about the pitching holding up long-term, and maybe we could do more of a deeper dive into that. Dave Lennon of Newsday wrote an excellent article on all that goes into the Mets pitching and why they've had success. So we'll get into that aspect of it. But I worry about them against the Dodgers or the Padres maybe in the postseason because we saw it peter out a little bit last year. But think about this. There's still room to grow there with Chalmanaya coming back, with Frankie Montas potentially coming back, at the very least adding more depth. There's still room to grow with the lineup because Juan Soto has done basically nothing yet. Mm-hmm. We know he's going to get going. And the vibes that you see, the thing that made the Mets so successful last year was the chemistry. That was a big factor. Remember the OMG stuff? People got behind the grimace stuff. But it was the way that they were playing together as a team, winning even despite Pete Alonso having minimal impact, if at all, until the postseason. Well, now it's the same thing. This time, though, it's Juan Soto who's having minimal impact to start the year. But Lindor's on fire to start. Alonso could not be better. This is the best version of Pete Alonso. And not only the numbers, BT, you watch them play. You're right. You could see it. They're having fun. They're feeding off of the energy of the crowd and each other. Each pitcher's going out there doing their job, handing over the bullpen with a chance to win the game. Bullpen's doing their job, timely hitting with the bats, moving guys over, driving guys in, some power. It's been a nice little balance here. They got a good manager who's not afraid to manage with his gut, also mm-hmm. smart enough to use the analytics. They are a well-run, well-functioning, well-oiled machine right now. And the way that we view the Mets now in the division is far different, at least from my perspective, I think many others, than we did going into the season.
And I think even more so than last year, even when they were at their high point last year. When you start to have some success, now when you begin to replicate, although they're actually exceeding the success early on, from last year they were bad to start, now they're really good. It's easier to believe, it's easier to accept. It just feels more real. It doesn't feel like a one-off. It doesn't feel like it's hokey or a little magical or a little, we can't quite quantify it, but it's a scrappy little group who is winning a few games. Can they keep it up? Yeah, I mean, you get the impression that they can, and I was talking about this when I came in this morning. I heard this last night on the broadcast. There's now 11 straight, 11 starts in a row Now, it's not like they're going 7 or 8, but nobody is in baseball for the most part. The Mets starting pitchers have gone 11 straight games without giving up a home run. 11 straight games. Now, for context, well, when was the last time that happened? The last time that happened was 2014. And that's not like they have a staff full of Tom Seavers every year, but that is over a decade worth of starts where you're talking about just giving your team a chance to ease into a game. I mean, I don't think we really associate baseball with pressure. Like, and in football, if you're down 21-3, think about this, Sal, early, or 14-0 or 17-3, you've got to abandon the run. You got to start doing the pass. You got to start maybe sending guys more to try to get some sack. But when you feel pressure in football, I think you kind of change the way you play. In baseball, I don't think that you do unless you are either tied or you're winning. Now you could just go about your job with no stress. And when you look up and there's, you know, 3, 4, 5 zeros or a one run or a two spot over 5 or 6, it allows the entire lineup, even the guys who are struggling, to just ease into their job, and it is clicking, and the Mets look terrific right now.
I mean, they've got the best record in Major League Baseball.
I think they're tied with the Padres,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for the best record in baseball, both 17-7. The Mets are 11-1 at home, and the feeling that you get, we talk about it a lot of times with individual players, the confidence that you have in certain hitters at certain times. It feels like, now look, Zach Wheeler's pitching against the Mets today, even though he hasn't been great, still a dangerous pitcher. We know that. The Mets have already done their job, though, taking at least two of three from the Phillies, separating themselves in the NL East, to your point. I mean, they already got right now a 4-game lead, and they could send the message if you're from the Phillies' perspective, think about it this way. They won the division last year. They were looking at the Mets like, a little engine that could. Yeah, okay, gimmicky stuff. The Mets wiped them out in the divisional round in 4 games. And now taking a hammer to them early on in this season, we're off to a better start and going head-to-head with them. So the confidence that you now have in this group is that I expect them to win. I expect them to win at home. I expect them to come back if they're down. All those things are great things to say about a ball club, and there really isn't an area that you would look at and say, now, it's not to say that they can't upgrade, but like I said, they could still improve in the lineup. Nimmo's done basically nothing. Soto hasn't done anything. Alvarez, McNeil's still not here. Like, there's room to grow there. Getting Manaea back could uplift the rotation even further, but I don't know how much better you could be than what they've been right now, which is the best in baseball. I mean, think about
Sounds
that.
Sounds excited.
I mean,
happy sale.
They've won 6 in a row. Think of how rare it is.
Now, 6 in a row for the second time this year.
Right.
They've had 2 6-game win streaks.
And this hot start, you know, usually with the Mets, there's maybe a little turbulence along the way.
Yeah.
This has been everything you could expect, and even overcoming. Like, if I were to tell you Juan Soto to be hitting .230 at this point, you wouldn't think the Mets have the best record in baseball.
No.
We think, okay, maybe a little slow start, whatever. Dude, I don't think you could be any better than the New York Mets have been so far to start the year.
I think, well, the funny thing is, I think that they actually can be better because I see, you know, Vientos starting to ease right into it. I think some other individuals can be better. Nimmo can certainly, I don't know if Nimmo will be better, but he could be better. So listen, you kind of beat me to it. Like, if I said to you, all right, Sal, you're the better person to ask for as a Mets fan, 24 games in, and Soto's sitting .233. If I ask you this, say, March 1st, Manaea hasn't thrown a meaningful pitch.
Right.
You used the word turbulence before. Diaz has encountered quite a bit of turbulence, even though he's navigated some tough spots. And, you know, but he still doesn't look great. He's been a little rocky in the back end. 24 games. What do you think their record is? I mean,
yeah.
Soto's done nothing. No Manaea, back end of the bullpen. And I just say back, I just mean Diaz. What, I mean, what, 11-13? I mean, 12-12?
Certainly not 10 games
There's
over
no
500.
Way.
This is a Yankee-like start. And this is what goes back to, it is a much bigger picture thing. The Mets had a plan. Steve Cohen took over. It took a few years to get going here. And, you know, hiring David Stearns eventually and then really putting that plan into place. But it's been a perfect storm. And now they're doing things that you expect from good clubs. This is what good teams do. Take 2 out of 3. Be good at home. Start to separate yourself early instead of digging out of an 0-5 hole the way that they had to last year and overcome a lot and barely make the playoffs. Remember, they almost missed the postseason.
Comes
down to the last day of the year, that extra day, doubleheader against the Braves. Now, I mean, the Mets are looking like, and again, I know that it's early, but still they are looking like they were looking like a 101 team.
Well, listen, I thought the Braves would be the best team coming in. Obviously, the Braves, wretched start. Now, like the Mets last year, maybe the Braves can overcome that.
Right.
They've lost some players. They're still a little bit banged up, but I think they're actually in last place, if I like
yes,
that.
They
I believe
are.
They're last in the NL East, right?
9-14.
Gee, all right. So, I mean, listen, only five under was what the Mets were at one point last year. As we know, we always use that as a reference point. So not insurmountable, but certainly a very favorable trend here for the Mets. I thought the Braves would be number one, even though the Mets beat the Phillies in the playoffs last year. I thought the Phillies were top to bottom slightly better, and I thought the Phillies would finish two, and I thought the Mets would finish three, comfortably third, and either barely get the wild card or barely miss out. And again, I know it's early, and it's not about some ridiculous hot take here, but you have to incorporate what you've seen and now what you anticipate with Soto getting better and eventually some guys getting healthy. I don't think it's irresponsible to say that the Mets can actually win this division going away. Yeah. I don't think that's nuts.
And I would think right now that they now, I don't know about the betting odds. Last checked yesterday, the Phillies, I still think, were slight favorites to win the division. But I would not be afraid of anybody in the division, and I would not be looking at the Mets as less than anybody in the division. When coming in, I think the consensus was, okay, well, it doesn't really matter about the division because we saw what happened last year. Mets are going to be a playoff team. Yeah. At least that's how I felt. Get in and go do damage once you get into the postseason and kind of see how the regular season goes. But right now, I think other teams are afraid of the Mets. The Mets are putting everybody on notice. Teams are envious of what the Mets have going on. The vibes, the energy in the ballpark, the chemistry, the cohesiveness that everybody is working with together, the environment that Steve Cohen and Alex Cohen have created, I would think is envious to other players who are like, man, they're, you know, you're sitting out on the other side seeing the Mets having all the fun. And it's like that, and they're playing hard. You reference the Tyrone Taylor play. That's something. Like, the Mets are just a buzzsaw right now, rolling through teams that are maybe in an early season malaise or going through the motions of 162. Not the Mets. They're playing pedal to the metal. They're trying to play as crisp as they possibly can. There's accountability there. It's everything that you could ask for as a fan. The only knock is that it's early. That's it. But you'd rather have this than the opposite.
Well, think about this in relation to what we talk about the Knicks, and obviously a big day for the Knicks tomorrow, and we'll jump into it crazy here on the show, BT and Sal, but it's easy to tell when the Knicks are connected and when they're not. When they're connected, ball spit into the corner, you know, there's no stopping, there's no just pounding the ball, which was the criticism that both of us had, you more in Brunson, me more in Tibbs, but just pounding the ball, monopolizing the ball. That did not look like a team that's very connected. It's harder to identify that in baseball because the third baseman has no impact on what the right fielder does on a defensive play. Now, maybe there's a throw from the right fielder, you got to scoop it. But, you know, play to play, it's a series of individual events. So it's harder in baseball to identify a connected team with great chemistry, but the Mets have it. It's not easy to see it, but I see it with the Mets. I see a locked-in nature right now that I think is pretty awesome, and I'll give you the play with Taylor. And they talked about this on the broadcast. So it's not that just Schwarber was asleep,
right,
and he went too far to second base, which he did, and for some reason, very lazily, didn't slide,
right,
which is the complete opposite of the way the Mets are playing right now. He's half-assing it back, and Taylor's on his horse. But the way Taylor approached that baseball, Sal, if you know, like, and they said it on the broadcast, I think it was Ronnie, it could have been Keith, but I thought it was Ronnie, when a fielder doesn't think he can get to a ball, he kind of drops his glove. And he deked out Schwarber.
Right.
That's a little thing that you're thinking about in advance. You don't just necessarily do that in the moment. So even though you have a couple of run lead and you're feeling good and you got a good record, even Taylor, who's not hitting, is locked in on every pitch. That's a good sign for the Mets.
And think about this. Taylor, not only the backup center fielder for the Mets, but a player that was specifically brought here, one of the first moves David Stearns made, making that trade with Adrian Hauser, I think it was.
But he wanted
Taylor. That's the type of guy that helps you win ball games. He's versatile. He's a grinder. He's a gamer. He's going to give you a good at-bat. He'll go out there and play good defense. So David Stearns identifying that type of player, then having him go out there and do the job. I'll give you another example. Brandon Nimmo, who has been clearly struggling this year.
Mm-hmm.
You see him on the top step of the dugout.
Cheered him on, letting him hit. Yep.
Those are examples of a team being together, feeding off of each other, good vibes, good energy, feeding off of the crowd. By the way, the results show it. 11-1 at home. That is not an accident. Lindor, his season started the turn because after the first six games, the first road trip, we were talking about, all right, well, going to be another slow start for Lindor.
Here we go.
It's fine. He'll be okay. But once the calendar turns to May or whatever, but no, right out of the gate, opening day at Citi Field, you could see the different energy, whether it's the My Girl song, whatever it may be. The fans encouraging him. He's trying to turn a base hit into a double right out of the gate, and the energy is different. And his season changed, and that's hitting over 300 in the month of April, whatever it may be to start the year.
I think he's right on the button. Yeah, he's three.
So he's been on fire. Pete Alonso's never been better. This is a guy who had an all-time rookie year in 2019, had a great year in 2022. We've gone over the numbers a million times. He's never been this good. To your point, we talked about it. The Mets still have room to grow, but the vibes could not be better with this group. The best record in baseball along with the San Diego Padres and starting to pull away. Yes, it's early, but maybe the one question mark was going to be, well, how are they going to stack up against the good teams? That was the one, the schedule's been soft, blah, 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 blah. They looked the Phillies head on, and it has been a mismatch. I don't care what the final scores say. Mm-hmm. It's been a mismatch through two games so far.
Boy, you broom them today. You guys are floating.
You know, floating. I do think there's something to it, and maybe it's me. You know, the Cardinals series in 86 was referenced this week because it was the first time the Mets swept the Cardinals in a four-game series since 1986. And you remember in 86, because I've watched that video a million times,
yeah.
In real time as a seven-year-old, it didn't have the impact, but watching the 86 year, remember,
uh-huh.
That series in April, when the Mets swept the Cardinals in the height of their rivalry,
yeah.
That put the fork in the Cardinals in April and let them know this was the Mets' division to take. And ever since then, I always believed that it was possible to send an early season message within the division. And I'm not saying that the Mets are going to put the fork in the Phillies just yet. Look at the two teams. Watch them play. There's one that is steamrolling the other. And at the very least, I think the Mets have sent the message to the Phillies, this division is not yours.
Mm-hmm.
The Braves are on notice. This division is not yours. We're not intimidated by anybody. And last year was no fluke. We're just getting started.
And that's why you have to love the fact what they've done these two games here. They reinforced what they did a year ago. All right, maybe you're not taking this seriously yet. All right, maybe you think we had some bells and whistles. All right, maybe you think we mascotted our way to this thing. You know, I don't know what Philly fans would think, but I'm pretty sure they thought that they were going to mop the Mets when they got into that series. They did not. The Mets advanced, and then they lost to the Dodgers, as we know. And if there was any doubt, and again, things could change. It is a very, very long season with a lot of twists and turns, some favorable, some not. But right now, the Phillies, if they thought last year was a fluke, these last couple of games, Mets have said, no, this is what we're going to be doing to you.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Nobody beat Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Greg is calling from Westchester. What's up, Greg?
Hey, very pumped up Mets fan. Took the day off and heading to the game today. I want to point out something about Mendoza that's so underrated. He basically took analytics and chucked them out the window last night when he left Torrens in. Every analyst would have said, you got a lefty, Nimmo. And he likes to show confidence in these guys because you show confidence now and it pays off later. And I'm just so pumped about everything going on. I love Soto. I don't care what he's hitting. He adds a presence to the lineup. And Tyrone Taylor, what just a ball player. Another guy whose stats don't matter. He's just an awesome ball player if you just watch him on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, you had me everything, Greg, and enjoy the ball game today. I'm jealous you're getting to go out there.
Oh, what a day.
It should be a fun atmosphere. Beautiful day, fun atmosphere. Mets looking for the sweep of the Phillies. You had me with everything until I don't care about Soto's numbers. I mean, at some point, Juan Soto is going to get going here, and you will start to care about his numbers. I think we talked about this, BT. I'd rather have Alonso do what he's doing and Soto struggling to start than the other way around.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you know, so it's just a matter of time.
I agree with that.
But let's not pretend. Like, the Mets are going to need Juan Soto to be Juan Soto at some point.
I think Juan Soto's going deep today. I never call home runs. I think he's going deep today. I'm going to stick with that, but at the very least, he's got a few knocks coming.
His at-bats, Wheeler?
Yeah, and maybe the bullpen. His at-bats were good last night.
3.5 homers on the year for Soto.
Yeah, no, I know the numbers, and I get the frustration that he's sitting in the 230s for sure, to sub-800 OPS, which is not what you guys paid for, but that's not what you're going to wind up with certainly this year. Juan Soto swings last night. He was right on a ton. First of all, his first at-bat was a one-hop rocket. That Bohm made a great play. When I see a good, pure hitter going the other way, that's when I'm like, all right, he's getting close because he's feeling good. He's letting the ball travel.
I feel like he's pulling too much.
No, but the first at-bat, the first at-bat? There's a rocket.
I listened to it on. Yeah, I understand it, but he's still pulling everything else.
Well, but that's also kind of the way they're pitching him. And that time, now, they didn't double him up. He busted down the line. They could have got two. They didn't. The next at-bat, he lined out the second. The next one was weak. I think it was a pretty feeble pop-up. But then even the last one, he lined up the middle where it was gloved by the pitcher. And I don't know if that's going up the middle to center field, but by the time it got to the shortstop, and I didn't check the exit velo, that thing had to be about 95 or 96 off the bat and probably does find grass if it's not knocked down by the pitcher a little bit. I think Soto's close, and I think there's an eruption coming, and I think it starts today.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
I think it starts today.
Been waiting for it. Been, 24 games so far, and he's still yet to really get going. There's also a good article in news. I'm going to give you those during the break.
Okay.
Check it out. Dave Lennon wrote a great one on the pitching, to your point.
Did he get into the laboratory?
Yeah, there are some good quotes about what exactly is going on there and why they've been able to have so much success. Tim Healey also wrote something about Soto being a base stealer all of a sudden. You questioned his defense.
Oh, please stop. I got to stop the party.
His base running.
So now he's Ricky and now he's Ken Griffey Jr. out there. Stop. Let's not go nuts, Mets fans.
So Aaron Judge in right field didn't look too good yesterday.
He made the one diving play. The other one, he stumbled a little bit. He didn't make it. Yanks don't lie. Last night bothered me. But right now we're talking Mets.
Little bro was up.
Mets. Yeah, okay.
Little bro was up.
Easy, right, Loogie.
Dave Lennon did a good in-depth article on it. One of the quotes that I thought was outstanding here was Ryan Stanek, because Stanek has been everywhere. He's been with the Rays, with the Astros, teams that are notorious for great pitching. Let's see. Stanek said this is as good as anywhere that he's ever been. Very fortunate that ownership in the front office here believes in having all the tools at the tool belt to help you be your best. Always beneficial to have all the tools, blah, 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 blah. The gist of it, BT, and we'll read it once Hoff, you could read the whole thing once Hoff prints it out here for you. The gist of it is that it's different for each guy. So Lennon even talks about, is it Hefner? Is it the lab? Is it this? Is it that? What the Mets are doing is identifying individuals that they believe that they can maximize and catering to each individual. The analytics, maybe it's certain rest, maybe it's a certain pitch. It's all of it. It's not just a pitching lab and a magical wand of the lab, but it's everything that goes into it. And I thought it was a fascinating look into it with Lennon. Now, they're not going to give away all their secrets there, but the fact that Stanek, a guy who's been around with Houston and Tampa, saying that the Mets are as good as it's been, to me, that is very telling. And you've seen, dude, Griffin Canning had an ERA over 5 last year, was 6-13, and all of a sudden he's turned into a serviceable starter. So I thought a good look from Dave Lennon there in Newsday, getting a little bit more into detail.
I got a little something here for you. Ready? All right, so this is from the article here. Yep. So the Mets seem to have discovered a winning formula they've been able to consistently manufacture, and it's not just one ingredient. People like to point to the closely guarded secrets of the lab or the expanded analytics department or the tutelage of Coach Jeremy Hefner and his lieutenants, while what it hasn't required, surprisingly enough, is owner Steve Cohen writing big checks for pitchers anymore, blah, blah, blah. And then you get into the David Stearns, identifying people. See, it can't be just as, and there's a lot of layers here. I'm sure there's a common sense aspect. There's a biomechanics aspect. You know, and when Static talks about all the equipment, it's not as simple as, well, the Mets just have better equipment than everybody else, because I just don't believe that that's the case. I think it's they've got great equipment, and they've identified maybe if I were to guess, I would say what they're doing is they are effectively identifying what the weakest pitch is for each pitcher. And that's why I'm talking about how it's each individually driven. Mm-hmm. And they've either tweaked it or eliminated it and then put a higher percentage of usage rate on something that's proven more successful. So rather than going to the well, let's say a guy throws a changeup 8.9% of the time, but the batting average against is 290, which would be incredibly high, obviously. Hey, you know, why am I going to throw a pitch that they're banging around 9% of the time? No. Right. We're going to go either to 0 or 1 or 2% and then identify the slider, the sweeper, the four seam, the two seam, and we're going to bump up the increment that we're deleting from the bad stuff to the good stuff. And in essence, you have a new pitcher.
I said this last year and probably again in the offseason, but I'm going to say it now. And I think it's to me, it's the thing that you would want the most from any team that you root for. The Mets have a very dangerous combination of finances and smarts. They have the resources to go get whatever they need or whatever they want, and they have smarts now with David Stearns running things. Now, the money doesn't necessarily pertain to the rotation because, oddly enough, or their staff, oddly enough, as Lennon points out in the article, the highest paid pitcher right now is Edwin Diaz, who's also had the highest ERA by far on the team.
Yeah.
So the Met, you know, obviously Manaea would be when he comes
Senga
back.
Senga makes decent money.
Yeah, but he's who'd you say?
Senga.
I think
he signed, what, 5 years, 75?
Right, whatever it is, but still not to the level of the, you know, Diaz right now the most, Manaea making a lot, but he's not there. Mm. But it's not like they're investing a lot in their rotation, and yet they have the best staff in Major League Baseball. So their bullpen is loaded, they've got versatility, where if certain guys are struggling, they could send them down. The Mets are in a great spot, but it's not just in the money that you spend in the contract for whatever pitcher.
Sure.
It's also the infrastructure that goes in. This is something that's being built up for years.
Yeah.
To where we talked about this years ago, and I'm saying, well, down in the minors, maybe you don't see it yet. Mm. But that infrastructure being built up, now you're starting to see the rewards.
Well, again, you know, I mean, I'm buying more and more into this laboratory of philosophy and application. You have to, because the results are just now, it's not a month, it's over a year and a month, and they are taking reclamation projects or spare change, if you will, and they're making them incredibly viable. You got to respect it. You have to. Now, what I find really interesting, I remember saying this to you a week or two ago, maybe a little more. Now, like, we're a year away, roughly, from now seeing blue chippers that they've drafted. Like, these are guys that were on the side of the road, maybe not with plus-plus stuff, but what about the first and the second and the third round picks that the Mets have had now under Stearns,
right,
or pitchers who they clearly identified as guys that we love? We don't have to save them. We don't have to flip them. We just have to enhance what we already know that they have. Well, now you start getting, I'm not going to say you're going to have a young Dwight Gooden, but now you have the possibility to have a staff like, you know, with a Dwight and a Fernandez, yep, and a Darling and an Aguilera and those young arms that are flame-throwing with plus-plus stuff and the laboratory. That's where it could get lights out, and that's where you beat a team like the Dodgers.
BT and Sal on the fan. Louie's on Staten Island. What's up, Louie?
Lou.
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to agree with you guys. It's nice to have the feeling that they're playing great now. I just feel like they could get better. And they have some depth. And even like a Brandon Sprout and Jet Williams, who are playing very well in the minor leagues. Yeah, I just feel like we could get better.
And I don't think it's just a minor. I think it's broke. But and thanks for the call there, Lou. I don't think that you're wrong. I think that you're right. Appreciate the call there, buddy. But I also think that there's guys on the Major League roster right now who are probably nowhere near their level of production. Vientos is just looking more like Vientos. But in the first 3 weeks, he was a train wreck. He's one guy.
Right, but then you think about, okay, well, is Alonso going to hit 390, whatever it is right now? He'll come back down a little bit. I understand there is room to grow, which makes it encouraging because you figure, okay, well, certain things are going to even out if it's the rotation. You know, look, I called it a bad rotation on paper going in. I trusted David Stearns, but on paper going in without Manaea, you're saying it's a bad rotation. It's not only not bad, it's been the best in baseball. Is that going to be sustainable to be the best in baseball? So let's say that levels out even a little bit.
Yep.
Now maybe the other stuff, Soto uptick or Manaea coming back can help level that out.
Nimmo, if you believe
yeah,
in it.
Yeah, exactly. But they're 10 games over 500, so I can't say that they could be much better. I mean, they've only lost 7 games on the year. They played 24. Like, yeah, there's room to grow. There's also room to come back down a little bit, but I think this is where the Mets are going to sit. I really do believe that they are the best team in the division. I believe they're a 100-win team. I felt that way coming into the year, that they were high 90s, 100. I forget the exact prediction, but I think it went over in our over-under totals there.
Yep.
Either way, I mean, they're playing much better than anybody could have expected, and there still is, there is room to grow.
Yeah, and listen, when I say room to grow, I don't necessarily mean win at a higher rate than they're winning. I mean, right now they're almost 71%. They're tied with the Pods, best record in baseball. I know the Mets fans feeling good. Sorry, you're not going to win 80% of the time this year. Nobody is. But when I say better, what I really mean is deeper and more problematic to pitch to 1 through 9. You know, there's still some dead spots right now. And listen, you're right. I mean, if Pete winds up hitting 280 this year, I think right now Met fans are maybe 285 because he's off to such a sick start. But he's not going to hit 300. That's not going to happen.
Right.
But the threat of Pete, even when he's down and his home run prowess and the ability to do damage is still there. So you still have to pitch him carefully. Even though Juan Soto is hitting 230-something, you still got to navigate that at-bat properly. Lindor's red hot. You know, now he's jumping on first pitches. He's doing damage, hitting home runs, and now he's hitting for the right side. So the stress that the Mets' top three pitchers are putting on opposing pitchers will eventually lead to the benefit of some of the other secondary pieces like a Vientos and maybe like a Nimmo, maybe like a McNeil, maybe Acuña's actually hitting pretty well.
Right.
Maybe both catchers when Alvarez gets back. So, again, not that they're going to win more, quote-unquote, but I think they're just going to be a better lineup they've got a chance to be better 1 through 9.
Ryan is in Wantaque. What's up, Ryan?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a Mets world, and we're just living in it.
You ain't kidding, man.
There's a lot of positivity, of course, and I think a lot of it stems, if we go back and rewind before the David Stearns hire, there was an exceptional change in the Mets front office with Billy Epler in play, and maybe it was contingent upon David Stearns taking the job. Remember, at the end of that season, the Mets got rid of their entire player development and analytic departments. You know, that was something probably that was structured before David Stearns would agree to the job. The Mets took a look at a lot of their minor leaguers, and they were underwhelming. And we saw the trades with Scherzer and Verlander and the minor leaguers that were brought in. You know, the Mets had a lot of misfit toys that were drafted before that. Guys that could hit, maybe not run, maybe not field, played out of position. And now you look at the Jet Williams, the Acuñas. These are ball players. These are guys that can play every facet of the game.
Well,
it was the Mets were missing for such a long period of time.
But those guys, Ryan, are minor leaguers, and thank you for the call. Jet Williams specifically. Now, I love Acuña. He's becoming one of my favorite players because of those things that you just mentioned. I mean, the guy, level swing, hits line drives, gives major league tough at-bats, electric athleticism, defensively on the base paths, all that stuff, but still got to go out there and prove it. BT, we talked about this in real time as it was happening. The Mets were doing one thing, and Cohen was learning, okay, you want money? Here you go. Give me Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
You know, go out there, give me Verlander. I'll spend the $40 million a year. I want those guys that are proven commodities. It didn't work. They realized it wasn't working. They pivoted, paid those guys to go away, brought in prospects. That was the, to me, turning point in this organization. Once they made that decision in 2003 to acknowledge and be aware of this isn't the way to do it, now, you got to give Billy Epler a little bit of credit as well because he was there leading the way at the time. But Cohen's certainly the one who's writing the chat saying, okay, fine, let's pay these guys to go away, bring in some prospects, and change our thinking. And then they hire David Stearns after Epler gets himself in trouble. They hire Stearns, and now it's even on another level because Stearns is as good a president of baseball operations as you could ask.
I think there, I think there's been two shifts in philosophy. The first one was literally the day that Cohen bought the team, the shift in philosophy, the old ownership, you know, holding on to nickels, like manhole covers, throwing them around. That's over. I'm gonna spend like a drunken sailor. I'm going to try to buy a championship. Right. He quickly learned that that's not the way to go, pivoted, bought a minor league system, and refined his approach. And now there is a really good, and that's the second pivot. Now there's a great balance of player development, the infusion of star players, Soto, and now you got to see where it goes. But you know, listen, you give Cohen credit for changing, I think, how he initially thought this thing was going
to
go.
He had to learn along the way here, and remember.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
You got people like us saying, spend, fans saying, spend. Met fan wanted that for so long.
Yeah, I know.
And there is something to that. You do have to spend, but you have to spend at all levels, and it shouldn't be reckless. Remember, when the Mets signed Carlos Correa, I'm thinking this is the best thing ever. I literally called back. I just got off the overnight, but I'm calling in, or I finished up the evening shift. I called in the overnight because I couldn't believe it happened after I left the air. I'm like, this is the greatest day ever. Now, it turned out that the contract had to be voided because of the injury stuff. But at that time, Cohen still was under the mindset of, I'm going to go spend. This is the final piece. Thank goodness. So it took a little bit of luck as well. Thank goodness.
Always does.
Exactly.
Always does.
You got to be smart. You got to be lucky as well along the way. So that also helped, but that was going into the 2023 year, which things fell apart, and then realizing, okay, this is not the right way. And every time since then, when the Mets have either tried to make a big investment or make a big investment, there's one common thread. Young players. Yamamoto, Sasaki, obviously Juan Soto. Okay, we'll go to whatever the market says we'll go to, but we want the young player. The other two guys that I mentioned did not choose the Mets. Soto did choose the Mets, and it's all coming together. The infrastructure in the minor leagues, the smarts of David Stern in the direction, Cohen learning, and all the resources available to help this team with whatever they need.
Ben Rice in the leadoff spot. Aaron Judge hitting 411. Oh, my God. Cody Bellinger in the three spot. Goldie, Chisholm, Volpe, 456. Wells, 7. Dominguez, 8. Cabrera and Rodon on the hill. Now, Bellinger better wake up. I'm getting a little tired with these empty at-bats. And, you know, the Jazz showboats more than he actually produces. Mm. You know, Jazz showed up last year, and I still think he's a very interesting player. I think the problem is that he thinks he's a different player than he really is. and I think he's probably a little bit too deep into the process to change. But if he was with the right organization early, I think his profile would reflect a different player. He's not a home run hitter. I think that he thinks that he is. I think he hits him by accident rather than when he tries to. And he should be a 35 to 40 to 45 stolen base guy every year. He should be a gold glover. He should be a contact guy with 18 to 20 home runs and bat 270. This version is atrocious. He's batting 155, dude.
He's trying to outdo Judge. You've seen that competition, right? That him and Judge,
yeah.
He wants to have the total of stolen bases and homers more than Judge.
Yeah.
And he's,
yeah.
I mean, the amount of home runs he's hitting, yeah, it's great. But Jazz Chisholm doesn't need to be a power hitter on the Yankees. I'm not saying you give back the home runs, but I'd take less home runs and a higher batting average or more contact and fewer home runs. So Jazz Chisholm is not the player that I think Yankee fans thought that they were getting. And to your point, maybe the worst organization that he could have come up with was the Florida Marlins or Miami Marlins, whatever you want to call them. Either way, the Yankees have some issues, man. And now, look, with Aaron Judge, you know, he's going to alleviate some of those problems. Max Fried has been a horse. I trust the bullpen. Even with Devin Williams' early season struggles, I think they'll be okay. But they have the opposite of the Mets. The Yankees each night, you don't know what you're going to get. There's inconsistency there. It's not an enjoyable watch. I thought they were playing good against the Royals.
Yes.
And I thought they played well against the Rays, even with that big blown loss. By the way, did you react to the Aaron Judge thing, the non-home run? Did you see that? I know you were away.
That's fair ball, 100% fair. Ridiculous.
Do you know the explanation that the Yankees got?
Was it because the stat cast doesn't go past 550? No. I read that and also the foul ball and the fair
ball. But you saw the replay,
ball.
Right?
Home run, 100%.
Okay, we all saw the replay.
Yeah.
So I was curious as
the height of it, right?
Yeah, the height of the ball, sure. But if you see the replay, you can clearly see that it was a fair ball.
No question, home run.
On replay. So, like, whatever you want to say about StatCast or the foul pole not being tall enough, whatever.
Yeah.
You clearly see the ball as a home run. I'm assuming the replay officials saw that.
Mm-hmm.
The explanation that was given to the Yankees was, quote, it was a difficult call. Or maybe just that it was a difficult call.
But
have a home run.
Yeah, but it should have been. They messed that up. But that's the definition of something that's inconclusive and the inability to turn around. Now, if that thing is called fair initially, then maybe it's a different outcome. Again, I thought it was a home run. There's no doubt.
I don't know how you can say that's even inconclusive when you show the replay in slow-mo highlighting where the ball is.
That's true. I mean, do they give him a freeze frame? I saw it on social media, yeah. The frozen shot. I'm sure they have access to all that. They missed it. I don't disagree. I don't need to believe. They missed it.
Right.
And the last guy that I'm worried about is Aaron Judge, even when he gets screwed by the umpires here. Ben Rice get hit. Judge is the man. Bellinger better wake up. Goldie's been good. Jazz has been awful. Volpe's been a little better, but not good enough.
I know last night
I didn't have an issue with that. That was a hit. That was a spinner. That's a tough play.
I get it. I'm not saying that specifically, but defense in general for the Yankees has been an issue.
There's been games where it's been sloppy. I can't refute that. Now, the guys that they brought in, Goldschmidt's better than Rizzo. You put Judge back in his natural spot, which means Bellinger's better defensively and better than Judge was a year ago. Judge better than Soto defensively.
More Grisham.
More Grisham, for sure. And also more Jazz at second, who's got more range than...
Dominguez hasn't been that bad. Yeah,
Dominguez's been pretty good. I think Gleyber Torres, Dominguez's been pretty good. You know, last night was weird. I mean, you know, when Kwan scores from second on a pass ball, I felt like I was watching my son's team. I mean, you take two bases on a pass ball. My good God. I mean, glove the ball, shit it up, keep it in front of you at least 15 feet. If it ricochets 15 feet to the right or to the left, Kwan's not coming home. And that was the Guardians kind of a game where I got to beat you with their wheels. A couple of hits, like one was 38 miles per hour exit velo. One was 67 when they scored those couple of runs here. I'm not incredibly worried about the Yankees because this is kind of what I thought the Yankees right. would be. I said that it would be a dogfight in this division. I didn't anoint them the clear division champions. I think they'll be a playoff team. I don't think the division's incredibly good. I just don't. But really, if you said, all right, out of all the players, who's got to really wake up? I got to see Bellinger starting to show something. I know he had the food poisoning and this and that, whatever. Played pretty good defense. Bellinger's got to start hitting a little bit.
Yeah.
Has to hit.
That's been maybe the most disappointing thing because I thought for sure, of all the question marks that we have going in, I thought Bellinger was going to look like old Bellinger. Not an MVP level.
Yeah,
but hitting either in front of or behind Aaron Judge, I would think would enhance that. That has not been the case. Just to wrap it up and tie in the Mets back into the conversation here. Yeah, again, we all know it's way early. That's what we do. We react to what's going on now. It can't just be, hey, hi, how are you? Let's talk about it. You know what? It's April. Let's talk about it. And get back to me in July or August. So we react to now. Yankees have played 24 games. Mets the same thing. I do feel like early on you can identify certain things that make you think you're watching a potential world champion. I see it with the Mets. I do not see that with the Yankees. What are your thoughts as far as looking at this? I'm not saying that they can't get there,
yep.
But so far, one team to me has looked like a potential championship caliber team, mm-hmm. and that would be the Mets.
Yeah, I don't think the Yankees, even coming to the season, I said they didn't look like, I didn't think they were going to look like a World Series team, but I also didn't think the Mets would. I'll grant you this, of the two, the Mets look more like the championship team now. I'm not going to push back on that at all. They just look more buttoned up. They look more connected. They look better. You know, I say this about the Jets and the Giants a lot. Like, what is their identity? You know, we talk about the draft. Why should the Giants get another Abdul Carter to add to that defensive identity? And I talk about identities in football, which is really important. Maybe a little less important but in baseball. But I feel like the Mets' identity is already beginning to blossom and bubble to the surface, whereas the Yankees' identity kind of seems to be, if Aaron Judge puts us on his back, we win the game. But if Aaron Judge doesn't, even though he had four hits last night and they didn't win, for the most part, Aaron Judge does damage. The Yankees win. It's the Aaron Judge show. And I thought it was going to be. And there's been games where it's been a little different this year, where the lineup seems more circular. But then maybe it's been sabotaged by a bad starting outing. Carrasco, Rodon's been a little all over the map. The Yankees are far from incomplete. Listen, at the end of the day, do I think the Dodgers and the Padres, maybe not the Padres, the Dodgers, do I think they have more talent than the Mets? I do. I don't think there's any doubt that I feel that and I believe that, but I believe the Mets clearly look better than I thought they would. I wasn't sure if they were going to be a playoff team. Right now, the Mets look terrific.
One thing the Yankees have that the Mets don't is a clear ace. Gomez is calling from Riverdale. What's up, Gomez?
Hi. So I have a quick question because you have a great conversation about the pitching lab in the Mets, and I think the Mets are doing very well, and I do agree that I didn't expect the Mets to do this well so early. I was expecting them to kind of get going around June. But I wanted to see if your philosophy about the ace issue, because clearly Mets don't really have an ace at the moment. Okay, Senga, I don't consider him an ace. I think Manaea is more of an ace. But do you feel that you need an ace to win a World Series? I feel the bullpen in the Mets is so good right now that I feel if they can do it as a championship team, that proven that how the Dodgers did in the World Series. And the last thing, my son plays baseball. He's in right field. So what can the youth today, especially high schoolers, and learn from this Mets team if they watch these games?
I'll quickly take the second part there. You know, I would just say play with energy, man. I mean, make your coach believe. Make it indisputable that your coach knows that your son loves baseball and wants to play. And I don't mean going out and getting three hits. Of course, if he does that, he's playing every day. I mean backing up, you know, talking to the dugout, being assertive and being aggressive, little thing. But that applies whether you're 7 or 70, and even if you're 30 and you're a non-star in the bigs. The reason you carve out an 8, 9, 10, something like Taylor, the reason you hang around for a while is because you are valuable in the morale department. There's versatility. I would impress upon the manager without saying it, I'm here to ball. You know a baller when you see one.
I would think one thing you could learn from watching the Mets in particular would be the amount of fun that they seem to be having. That is, You want to go into things with the right attitude. And look, Juan Soto doesn't appear to be having as much fun as we've seen him have before. I still haven't seen the Soto shuffle. No,
I was
like
looking
that
for it last night. Didn't see it once.
So that's what I'm saying. Now, I'm not saying he's not having fun with the Mets. Please don't twist that up. And hey, if you put it on digital, I'm going to be pissed off.
Sal blasts the Mets.
Do not cut that up on digital. Anyway, the point is that when you see the other guys, and even Soto to an extent, like he is having some fun, of course, when the Mets are winning, but there's something to that. When you go in with the right attitude and you're playing a game and you're playing the game hard the right way, that is something that I would want to instill in young kids trying to play the game. As for the other, go ahead, BJ.
I was going to say, and you know who admits that? I think maybe more than anybody in New York, I think Lindor.
Yeah.
You know, and I know Judge loves playing, but obviously as a smaller player, a faster, quicker twitch guy, Lindor is, he looks like he wants to be on a bit, and so does Judge. I don't mean he's that, but Lindor looks like he wants to be on the field every single second.
I think both those guys have that. And how about Pete Alonso this year? Think about this. Pete Alonso, same person. Last year, look at him and watch him versus this year's version of Pete. And it's easy to say, well, yeah, because he's hitting 350 and he's, you know, having success, that's why he's happy. No, because his attitude changed going into the year. I don't know what happened, what clicked for Alonso. He came in locked in. And there's just a happiness, a funness to him. You know, the Mets do that celebration when they're getting on base. That to me is something that I think is transferable to young kids. Go out there and have fun. Don't be too hard on yourself. Something that I wish I didn't do when I was younger.
No, I was hard on myself, too. Yeah. Sometimes to my detriment, yeah. Listen, I think we referenced the 86 Mets video, right?
Yeah.
And one thing that I remember that team did a lot, remember the hot foots?
Yeah,
when they would
put
the bubble gum with the matches? For you, if you guys don't remember it, they would, an unsuspecting teammate, nobody does this anymore, but they take maybe one of Keith Hernandez's cigarettes or whatever, and they'd have McDowell and a Roscoe, some of the Jokers, whatever. They would just wrap a big wad of gum around it when somebody's not looking. They stick it on the back of their Nike spike, and then they light the matchbook on fire. Next thing you know, the sneakers or the cleats on fire, hot foot. That Met team had a lot of fun.
Right.
Now, maybe too much fun, off the field, and they should have won multiple championships. But if you're not having fun in baseball more than any other sport, you may as well go home. Because it is such a monotonous daily grind that if you're not enjoying it, it really does become joyless very quick. And these Mets seem to love going to the yard, and they seem to love going to the yard with each other. Good luck so far.
Yeah, I think that pertains to any aspect, too. People should be having fun in general whenever you can. Speaking of having fun, check out Evan and Tiki, live draft day show at the American Dream. They'll be there doing their show at the Dream Bar, Court A, Level 2, 2 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Ahead of tomorrow's draft. So make sure you join us live broadcast. Evan and Tiki from the Dream Bar at the American Dream ahead of day one of the 2025 NFL Draft. BT and Sal on the fan. We'll answer the other part of that question, BT. Do the Mets need an ace to win a World Series? I alluded to a little bit with the Yanks having Max Fried in place. We'll get to the Mets aspect of it. Also, we'll discuss some draft as well. 888-808-1019.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.